What's up, Eugene?
Hey, Jamie, how's it going?
I'm Esperta.
And it's Animado.
And this is the Capoeira Podcast.
So how's everything going with you?
You know, it's going really well. You know, for a while I was talking about how I was working for free. I was staging at restaurants.
Right.
And it turns out that last week I was offered a position.
No way.
Yes. So I will be working garmage and prep. Garmage is basically cold appetizers, salads. But I'm really excited because I get to cook. And
dude, you're doing something you love.
Yes. And I am doing something that I love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the funniest thing, actually, is that Capoeira has really been getting me through the physical, the mental, the endurance. I can stand. I'm very agile when it comes to squatting down and getting stuff from the lower refrigerators, or when something hot is coming at my face, I duck down super quick. I esquiva. And not to mention when...
talk about finding multiple applications.
Yeah, no, and not to mention when, you know, we're just drowning in tickets. I'm thinking about Capoeira. I am singing Capoeira songs to myself hundreds of times a day. And in a way, that to me, that I'm actually practicing music.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
But at the same time with that, I just feel like, you know, I hate to say this, I feel like I'm doing less Capoeira because I'm working more.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel like for you? Because you recently got a promotion too.
Yeah, it's been tough. Honestly, I went from 3 to 4 days a week down to like maybe 1-2 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and what little conditioning I can do on my own after work. So it's been hard. It's definitely been hard to kind of not stay motivated, but stay conditioned, stay mm-hmm. like have that muscle memory intact with my movements. I mean, just last week I was able to go to body sport event, and it was just that Thursday event, and I did a few sound bites just to kind of like touch base on that, like, stay tuned for that. It's going to be pretty cool stuff. But yeah, it was nice playing again. It was mm-hmm. nice interacting with the community again, but I definitely miss it. I love my job.
No, I was thinking about you on Thursday when amongst all the chaos of the first day being paid, I was like, oh man, he's at that event.
Yeah, it was cool. Like,
so lucky.
Mr. Raimundo was there from Brazil, and again, stay tuned to a future podcast about that. It'll be pretty cool. I'm really excited for it.
I'm definitely excited for you to start just doing stuff on your own for the podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm proud of you.
But yeah, I mean, work is great. I'm learning. I'm at a new store. The drive is a little bit longer, but hey, the job is, they take really good care of me. I love working there. It's a different crowd of customers I'm serving, different type of vibe, but again, I love my job. I love Capoeira, so I'm making it work. I'm very thankful for the podcast, too. I mean, it's given me the opportunity to learn a lot from different people in all facets of Capoeira.
Yeah, and we've been meeting different people mm-hmm. from the podcast, different people that we don't even know mm-hmm. have been liking us. We've been getting discovered from different parts of the U.S.
Yes.
And from the different parts of the country, which is insane. Other continents. And with that, we actually, we have a giveaway.
Yes.
So we got some awesome bracelets from Instructora Foquinha, also known as Tammy, from Capoeira Brazil East Bay,
right,
which
on.
Is out in NorCal.
Awesome.
So give it up.
Woo, woo, woo. Thank you very much. I
Send
don't know
them
if you guys
some
saw
love.
That
Thank
post
you, Capoeira
a while
Brazil.
Back. I saw that.
There's some great bracelets, guys. They're really awesome bracelets. They help a really good cause. The money goes towards their bachizado. We got some, and we would like to give it away out to you guys.
Yes. We are doing a little Instagram contest, and being that today we're going to talk about music.
Yep.
We're going to make this little contest about music. So show us something about your music.
You got 15 seconds because 15 seconds is the time limit on videos on Instagram.
Yes, 15 seconds. Something on birimbau, something on
variation,
a tabaki,
a song,
maybe some a few lines of your favorite song. Anything, and
yeah.
Then hashtag it the Capoeira Podcast.
We'll pick a winner at the next episode, and then we'll have you direct message your address. We'll send them right out to you. Hashtag the Capoeira Podcast.
Hashtag I hella love capoeira.
That's fucking awesome, Eugene. I love that you just fucking came up with that right out of your ass. Yes, fucking hashtag that. Also, hashtag Capoeira Brazil East Bay. Just show them some love.
Absolutely.
Show them some support. Unfortunately, me and Eugene, I just got a new job.
My job just demands about 47, 50 hours of my week.
And now that I am, I have no weekends. There's no such thing as weekends for me, so we unfortunately cannot make it.
There's a lot of events I would love to
go. There's a lot of events coming up, and I, you know, this is just the nature of growing up, and we love capoeira. We train consistently every week, but unfortunately we can't show support as much as we want to.
Doesn't mean we can't show some love by just sharing some events that are out there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Capoeira Brazil in Tijuana, Mexico, March 19 is having their event.
Mm-hmm.
That should be pretty cool crossing the border.
Yeah.
Jingarchi Capoeira out in Chicago, Mestre Marisa and Professor Ligirinho, March 20th as well, that weekend.
I've actually been to Chicago. It's an awesome place. Mestranda Marisa is an amazing teacher. She has an amazing school.
Professor Ligirinho, we got a little game going on. Haven't seen him in a while, but not sure if he remembers that game.
I know who he is. Super nice guy. We'll give a shout out to him and that school. Definitely support Jingarchi if you're out on the East Coast.
Yeah, definitely. Going further east, out in the United Kingdom, Nottingham.
Is it east?
Further east for us from at least out in the west.
Very geographical of
you. Nottingham, Cordaggioro, Mestre Papa. March 20th through the 22nd, I saw that there was a particular dance instructor, Nogueira.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pronounce it very well. But he's an amazing Afro-dance instructor. So
awesome.
He's having a workshop out there, so that should be very cool. Another event, Raça Movimentos, out over in back in the U.S., in good old Texas. Professor Graveto under Mestre Efraim, March 20th through the 22nd. I think Mestre Efraim has come out to a few events out here.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been a cool guy.
He's been to our events. I've seen him at Capoeira Besouro. I've seen him in Vegas. I've seen him in San Diego. He's all over the place. Oh, yeah.
He's like
awesome,
busting out that malandro style with the pandero. He's pretty cool performer,
really
too.
Really great teacher. Really nice guy.
Let's see. Capoeira Brazil Puebla is having their event, mm-hmm. March 26th through the 29th. Moving forward out, oh wow, all the way out in Russia, Associado de Capoeira, Mestre Bimba, March 27th through the 29th.
In Vladivostok, I believe.
Wow. Ooh. How?
I don't know. That's the only thing I was able to read because the rest were like in wingding Russian writing. So sorry about that, guys. If any guys are listening out in Europe, if we're fucking it up.
My bad.
We can't read Russian.
Out in San Diego, Capoeira Brazil San Diego is having a kids encounter and instructor workshop with Mestre Tony Vargas. That should be very awesome. March 21st, if you guys can check that out down in San Diego. See a couple cats, local people are going down there.
Yeah, I also believe Mestre Tony Vargas will be at the Mexico Capoeira Brazil. So it looks like he's pretty much running the whole tour. Gamut and doing the tour of Bachizado. So if you miss him in Mexico, I guess. See him in San Diego. Just follow him around if you really want to check him out. He's an awesome guy, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's one of the greats.
But yes, so Capoeira is worldwide, and it's cool to find all these events all over the world. So if you can support, if you have any information, definitely send us that information as well on our website, Capoeira Podcast, and Facebook.
All right, guys. So I just feel like we should go back to the basics again, because we've had a few interviews the last...
Great interviews,
don't get me wrong, but I kind of want just, like, I think it's great to break it up. I really don't want to do interviews, like, every single episode. So let's go back to just really talking about different topics of capoeira. And I think a really important thing that I feel like people say it's important, but a part of me feels like sometimes it's physically not conveyed enough in some schools and more than in some other schools would be music.
Ah, there it is. We've been talking about this for a while, guys.
We've been wanting to do this. It's always been one of the first episodes I've always wanted to do. when doing the podcast is some sort of a music awareness.
Awareness is episode. A very important.
It's a nicer word.
It's a very important way of putting it because we're not here to give you a lesson on anything, no. On how to play.
You can access it anywhere. This is the internet. I mean, this is the internet age where everything is available to you. So I really don't want to repeat what...
You could probably find out there.
Yeah. I mean, you could search it. I don't want to repeat really what everything, like internet site on Kapwata Music has to say, because you can search that topic and find, you know, really like a vast...
Yes, absolutely.
And I feel like... I think music is super important. Music is really what sets Kapwata apart, I think, from every other martial art. Whereas it used to be just movement and maybe those forms.
I agree.
We have music.
Yeah, for me, I was definitely drawn to the music and that dance that is so obvious within the art form. So I think the music definitely leads the game, leads the way things are supposed to be in the Honda.
So I thought about it. I feel like I've gone to a lot of different events. I've gone to different classes whenever I've traveled around. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like music is strong in one school and music can be very weak in another school.
I need to travel more to different schools because the events I do go to, I tend to see... I can think of two or three events where... Out of the three, probably one was probably more strong in terms of the students.
I can honestly say the majority of the time, it's always like mestres or profesores or instructors up at the bateria. But then there comes a time where like students can step up and far few in between. Like I know that I've been as a yellow cordao, I'm like, all right, let's go play. Let's go check it out, see what's up.
Right.
But then you go to other schools and you see, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, we still need to work on it as a community, at least the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always surprising to see that people aren't willing to step up, aren't willing to grow. And I don't know what the problem is.
Are you talking in terms of like the upper cores? Are you talking in terms of students?
You know, I don't know if it's because my school has taught me to be so aware of everything around me or so... I don't know if it's taught me to be aware or maybe I've become aware because I learned to try to pay attention to what's going on before even trying to play.
Right.
But sometimes I feel like certain upper cores should be taking responsibility and helping out with the energy of the Hora instead of just keep playing.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
I hate to say that. I'm not even going to say names because I don't want to say names, to be all honest.
Of course.
I think everyone could be guilty of it sometimes.
Of course.
And I just feel like music is a big responsibility. I think if music is the one that drives the game, then why is it not sometimes...
held as a priority?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think... I mean, I know in my school, we really try to be well-rounded. And I think that it's important to be well-rounded because that's what makes good capoeiristas. And I think that's what sets people apart from just being someone that practices capoeira to an actual capoeirista.
Absolutely. Is to
love everything.
Training and...
Or at least try everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's interesting to me because I see capoeiristas and I'm like thinking, oh, wow, that's amazing capoeirista. And all of a sudden... You find out that they're not good musicians, and I'm just completely blown away by that.
And a part of me wonders, okay, is it that the school's problem, or is it the personal preferences of the teacher, or is music just not taught enough?
Well, for me, I don't know if it's, like, being lazy, or if it's...
I think it's definitely a combination about everything. I think that... it's definitely a combination about maybe the accountability of the teacher to the student.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, it could be intimidating because sometimes, I remember when I was younger chord, I just saw only the older chords. So it was always like
Yeah.
A set, like it's like you knew who was always going to be on the drum and stuff. But then it took me to want to learn because I wanted to get up there. But I remember my teacher was like, you need to know what to do when you get up there, because if you don't, you're going to drag down the energy, and then all of this other stuff's going to happen. So
it really does start at your leader.
Yeah, it starts, I think it does start with your teacher. I remember our teacher was saying, Shingu in my old school was saying, you guys got to get tighter on music. You guys got to practice at home. You cannot just rely on music classes. I mean, mm-hmm. to be all honest, for me, yeah. I think that the true personal time to really show if you've been practicing or not is at the music class and at the hora. That's when it's time to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I did take it upon myself. It definitely depends on time and where you're at. I was in my early 20s when I started picking up the birimbau, and I remember just capoeira was, and not that it's not in my life right now. I mean, capoeira is definitely in the forefront, but when I was 20, all I had was a shitty cell phone job.
Oh gosh.
And that was it.
I was at Cold Stone.
Yeah, so I mean, I remember calling up a being like, yo, what are you doing before class? Like, he was
let's
said,
get together.
I get off at 4, and I'm like, I'm off right now, let's go meet up, and let's play for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, we would play literally for 4 hours.
I was fortunate to have that opportunity with Zolino.
Yeah, but even then, for you guys that even have kids, or even have, or even, like, are adults, and you guys have full-fledged jobs and stuff, like, I mean, there are tons of opportunities to practice. For me, the time to really perform is at music class to show how much you've improved and how your music and your singing is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can even experiment and, like, teach new songs and stuff like that. So let's just start at the very bottom.
Okay.
To the no chord.
Ah.
like, you just got your uniform. You've been to a couple classes.
I have no music background.
Mm-hmm.
I have not the highest self-esteem or confidence.
Definitely.
Just
I think,
standing in the hoda.
I think, you know what, guys? Guys that are listening to this that don't have a chord, new students, or maybe you do have your first or second, but you still do find yourself you feel like you're not good enough. You are good enough. Let's just affirm that to you and give you support. Like, you guys are good enough, but everybody has their start.
Yeah.
And I know I'm aware that I came from nothing.
Uh-huh.
I was awful.
Uh-huh.
For one, I was like 180 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Like 170, 180. Starting to do this, I could barely move. I was really, I didn't know like how my body was going to move with this, and I had really big pants on and stuff, and I remember being really conscious of even singing, even though everyone else is singing. I was just really conscious of even just clapping my hands and being in that circle.
I remember seeing that a lot in the when I first started, and just kind of being new to the environment. I remember seeing that in other capoeiristas that were on that same path as myself. I think one thing to remember is, in capoeira, and this kind of just it resonates for me, not just in music but just throughout the rest of the art form and in life, is that you're gonna fall. This is the time, this is the place for you to fall. And if you feel like you're not gonna sing right, if you feel like
it's okay,
like, I think this is like an aspect where it's just like it really starts to nurture your growth. And so singing and stepping out of that comfort zone, oh, I don't want to say that, I don't know what I'm saying, like, time, like, this is it. Like, I think with music, this is your place to really find your voice. So yeah, just as a beginner, definitely go for it, and start to find that strength to, I guess, just get more engaged.
Or that confidence.
Yeah.
And that assertiveness. I always stress, and I always tell younger chords, or really anybody that comes up to me and just, which, by the way, is amazing when someone comes up to you and say, that was awesome singing, or that was a really good game, or wow, it's like the way you move. I always say, nobody ever has started out good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a start, and I, like I said, I remember I was awful. I couldn't even ahu on another side, let alone sing.
Oh my gosh. Just that idea. Like, I couldn't ahu to one side over the other.
Yeah, and I remember, like I said, I remember just, I didn't even know what was going on. Just that complete confusion of chaos where everybody's in a circle and then you're just like, how does everybody know what to do?
And then you have to train music.
Yeah. And so let's start off with just the basics.
Right.
You're basically probably going to start with a pandero or an agogo when you're playing music.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rudimentary. I don't want to really explain the technique. I just want to give pointers because, to be all honest, now in the information age that we're living in, you can go to YouTube, you can go to...
By YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. What are other sites, honestly? Like, tons of music sites, tons of lyrics.
There is a bunch of them out there.
The internet is at your fucking fingertips, and all you got to do is just search Capoeira music. Back in the day, I remember people would get CDs and VHS tapes of Bachizados. And I remember being like, can I see that? And they'd be like, no.
No. Yeah, they'd
freaking keep I'll play you 30 seconds of a song.
Yeah.
And I remember just like, okay, fine. Listen to 30 seconds or something. I think for me, in terms of my journey of music, I really had to fight.
You had to hustle to get that lyric. You had to hustle to get that song from your professor or from Mestre at a workshop that you went to.
Or I remember one time I did it on the DL, and for some reason I felt so shady about doing this, but I had one of those clip-on mics to my iPod, those old like video iPods, and I remember clipping it on, acting like I was getting water and taping the Hora. I didn't know what the songs meant.
It was so taboo.
Yeah.
Now
I whip out like a camera.
If you whipped out a camera, be like, oi, put that away. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Like I said, we're an information age, and in terms of our generation of capoeira, I mean, it was whatever you can scrounge off on other events. And I remember there was only few YouTube, but now everything is available.
There is one particular YouTube screen name where she just, or he just has a laundry list of songs from different schools, from different mestres, with the lyrics on there, so.
Yeah, and they come up, so it's like karaoke style.
Karaoke style.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's just start off with that. So you can definitely find music. There's a lot of cogidos. I suggest start off with cogidos.
Simple ones.
Yes. And to the protocol of your school, see what else is out, and then explore from there. You know, I'll just use my school as an example because it's just very easy. We're very well-rounded. So not only do we do regional, we also do Angola. So from the easy cogidos, I started to move on to Angola. And then from there, I started doing longer songs. And then I started doing ladainas. So, okay, so there is that actual lyric and music aspect. So instruments, they'll probably start off with a pandero.
Pandero, for sure.
The drum, they'll probably do a very basic beat. I suggest if you really want to try the binimbao, definitely pick it up. I remember being scared of it when they put in my hands and not being able to lift it. I remember for a while I had to keep it perched on the seat. Like, the bottom was the seat, and I couldn't hold it with my pinky.
Yeah.
So I say, see if, like, ask a student or your teacher to be like, can I try it out? And definitely ask help from another student, like a higher chord, to be like, and just say, I want to learn. And most likely, like 99.9%, that older student is going to be like, yeah, like,
that's a good one.
Let's sit down. let's go over the three beats, you know, the very basic toki. Let's do it.
Right.
Yeah. I understand birimbaos are very expensive. I bought one about when I was 8 months into it.
Oh, wow. You definitely dove in. It took me a while to get mine.
Okay, but even though I bought it within 8 months, I mean, I busted it, like, the second time stringing it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I totally cracked it, so it's hanging now. And then I end up using a friend's, and then my friend ended up quitting, and I ended up just unceremoniously taking it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He ended up getting married and having a kid, so it's like, I don't even think he remembered that it was his.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I borrowed it for 3 years, and then after that, I just kept it.
Yeah, I was fortunate to get my beading bell from Mestre Lobon, so he actually stood there, and he was like, no, that's not a good one. He was, like, matching, and I'm standing there like, what is he doing? No, and
I really think that, I feel like beading bells are an extension of you, so, okay, so say you do want to, let's just talk about the instrument itself. Right. Say you do want to buy it, I suggest, if you're at an event or something, see which other ones the teacher has and definitely test the weight out. Because I'm a small girl.
Seems to be a big one.
And then I remember a lot of people notice my beading bells are very light.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, for me, I made sure that I can lift it.
And control it.
And this was even before I got really used to the weight. Now I feel like my pinky's really strong from all those times of playing and then we'll get into how I kind of built my strength up in a little bit. But I definitely kind of, like, inspected it. Mm-hmm. For one, I think this is a really good thing. Look for knots in the wood. They're kind of like these little circles. And make sure the knots are kind of not in the center. Because when you do stretch them, there's a possibility that the knots could lead to you cracking it.
Yeah.
So definitely look at that. Look at the thickness, because based on the thickness, it's going to be super heavy. So if you're just like I'm about 4'11", 5".
Mm-hmm.
Someone actually called me 5'1", and I was really flattered. Like a secret shopper at my restaurant was like, Asian girl, 5'1". And I was like, oh my God, I love this bitch. She called me 5'1". That's like calling me 6 feet tall. But anyways, so for me, I could never use a thick biriba because it's just, I can't even bend that.
Yeah.
But you don't want it too thin to the point where you just bust them in two one day.
So, or you have this, like, giant U.
Yeah. So you definitely want to find a good size. Definitely take your time with it. Don't just buy the first beating bout that the Mestre fucking plunks in your hands.
Right.
Because that's definitely happened to me. But I've been lucky because the beating bouts that he just put in my hands were just perfect weight. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Messages tend to do that. Just put shit in your hands and then you buy it.
Like, here, take my CD.
Here's another tip, guys, if you're a new student. If they do that, say, thank you, Messages. This is awesome. And honestly, you have a choice to buy it or not. Don't feel afraid that you have to buy it.
You gotta support them, but then, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. So,
I bought a really crappy DVD.
It was, no, I remember, it was a CD. It was awful. I think we threw it out the window that day.
I don't even know where it's at. I just remember sitting there, I'm like, I paid how much for this clip video? No thanks.
Yeah. I remember, I think we tossed it out. Like, we literally tossed it out the window one day driving home, I think from the event.
Right on.
Good times. Okay, So there's that. So there's the instrument. The drum, I have a really good practice drum that's just the head, and it attaches to a snare stand. I think all in all, the total was about $140.
That's a really good investment.
Yeah, don't get it full-on atabaki, guys. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, unless you know... Well, see, this is where I'm at a beginner right now. Yeah, get that drum head, and it's a really good place to start.
It's really nice. You can break it up. You can set it up anywhere you want. You could break it down.
Even if you can't afford to get that, I personally had a habit of just drumming on any surface that was in front of me. Found a book, and I would just start drumming, and people are like, what are you doing?
I like to drum on a steering wheel when I'm in traffic. We are in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you the truth, guys, I think about probably 70% of my music practice is in my car.
Same here.
Exactly.
Yeah, same here.
Practicing on the steering wheel.
I mean, if you're out in New York in the subway, on the train,
instead of
reading a book.
On a book with some headphones.
Yeah. I definitely learned a lot of my songs just sitting in the car and seeing people notice me and be like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm singing in my car by myself.
Yeah, also, there's CDs now you can buy. If anything, I will plug this. Carolina Suarez is probably the best for girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I love her voice.
Her voice, I think, it's not sharp. Okay, so let's go into voices now for beginners. girls, you're going to tend to go sharp. And I understand it's a natural thing. And I definitely started sharp. I started high and sharp. And then sometimes I'd start so high where when it was time to go higher, I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I actually, using her CD, really controlled, I was able to control my voice.
And this is a personal thing for me. I'm not sure how accurate this might be in my observation of female singers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's either those who sing really high and sharp, like you mm-hmm. said, or do this like forced manly voice thing where it's kind of like, like you're singing in your throat. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's that for me, I see it's not opening up.
I also feel like it doesn't project because it's coming from your throat right. and not from your diaphragm.
Right. And so try not to copy a voice. Try not to find a voice that you like. Try to project your voice.
I don't know, because I did her voice for a while.
Right.
But yes, in time.
Yeah.
And with time and practice.
Right.
You can get your own voice. I do find that I'm a little bit more different from her now.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure it out. Like, I feel like my voice is funny sometimes when I sing, but I'm also at a point where I'm like, hey, you know what? I own it. That's my voice. It sounds a little funny, but I'm still projecting. I'm still on beat, and I'm still with a good tone. It doesn't have to be the most amazing tone. And mm-hmm. It's not American Idol or by any means, but it's just finding that confidence, I think, is what's so important.
Yes, I think definitely confident and finding that within yourself. But I can totally understand. I remember being completely timid. I remember just learning this simple cojido, and then everyone had to sing it, and it was my turn. I could not get it out.
It's that round. It's like that joda, that group circle.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, everyone's going to take turns singing.
And then, you know, the teacher's just like, you're not loud. Can you kind of be louder? And I think it was because I was going from my throat, and I was really timid. So honestly, straighten your back out. Straighten your back out, you know, like really elongate your neck, and it's going to come from the inside. And that's a start. And honestly, if you fuck up, it's okay, because we've all fucked up.
Yep.
I think, honestly, I think this is why capoeira is, and I hate to call it niche, but it somewhat is, because a lot of people don't want to fuck up.
Yeah, they want to have it on point and perfect that first time, because this moment right now in my training studio is a live or die type of moment, and I need to perform the shit out of this song.
And I think capoeira is really a sport about fucking up. A part of me feels that way. I've taken a few martial arts, and I feel like this is one of the only martial arts that I've had where I've actually struggled blood, sweat, and tears, and really just struggled with certain things mm-hmm. that I've achieved. And man, when you know you've achieved it, it feels so
mm-hmm.
gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it's that process. Like, you're like, when am I going to get this?
I mean, it's constant. That's what I love about capoeira, is that it constantly makes you uncomfortable. And from that, and I think that's where greatness starts to stem. And then that's when you start evolving
mm-hmm.
into your game, into your song. So another thing, okay, so we talked about, so far we just talked about how beginners must feel.
Uh-huh.
We also talked about picking out a berimbau, or maybe if you're thinking about getting your own instrument. A
couple points there, yes.
I think another good thing is how to approach a new song.
Ah, yes.
I actually have I used to practice for hours mm-hmm. with a friend of mine out here. And for one thing, I think some people try to hide and, like, do music in their basement or something like that. But me and my friend actually did this thing where, I guess, we just didn't give a fuck. We would actually practice in the fountain at a mall.
Uh-huh.
And even though we stunk, like, we stunk bad, we were open, you know, like...
It was okay. That open environment.
Yeah, it was nice. There was air. We were like, I don't want to say in nature, because I'm not that type of a person, but it was just nice to be out and to feel air, and mm-hmm. and there were people walking around, and, you know, people didn't care.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's when I started getting confidence, because people don't care, and it was okay to fall.
Yeah, absolutely. where did I'm trying to remember how I would approach. My first song that I wanted to learn was super complicated, and it wasn't actually a capoeira song. It was a samba song. It was...
I know exactly what you were talking about. Because I remember Jimmy, who is from my previous interview, Jimmy was telling me when he learned it. That's when I started meeting him.
That was around the time that we met. And his... And this is, for me, super important. When you're learning a song, make that effort to know what you're saying. Because at that time, he was just phonetically sounding things out.
I remember he would spell it phonetically with no...
It's like, no, do you know what you're saying? He's like, no, it doesn't matter. Because right now, like, if I say it this way or I say it that way, they're still going to say it in the hoda. I'm like, yeah, but you need to know what you're saying. It's like, what if you're saying, I'm going to go fuck your mom in the ass? And it's just like, no, that's the wrong lyric.
Yeah. Like, capoeira really, I think it's okay because it really requires a lot more homework at home.
Yes.
Which is what we're trying to drive home is, it's one thing to go to class, bow in, do class, get bowed out. It's quite another and you got to do your homework, honestly. I think great capoeiristas are ones that are still constantly learning when they're not in the studio, in the school. I end up picking up like Rosetta Stone and Pimsleurs, which you can honestly bootleg.
same thing with Pimsleur, just saying. Don't do that. That's not nice. Support the artist.
I understand. Yeah. I think that's another thing is the language barrier.
Yeah. It's so huge.
And it's weird because you can go to other countries, but you go to a capoeira class, everything's going to be in Brazilian anyway, which is interesting. But, so yeah, we understand. There's definitely a language barrier, so start to get used to how sounds are made, the pronunciation of words.
And this is just a little riff on language. When I went to France for Mestre Chicochi's event, I met so many capoeiristas that spoke 3-4 different languages. And so I feel like it's a cultural thing here where we have a little bit more difficulty trying to learn another language, trying to communicate with another person in their mother tongue, so to speak.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's a great point.
In France, I mean, yeah, you have, it was Israel, Russia, Italy, who else was in attendance? Switzerland and Norway. Mm-hmm. That's 5 different countries coming together for an event. And I saw 3-4 people who would... switch languages just quickly, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, here are all these people here speaking 3-4 different languages, and I'm struggling to learn Portuguese still, struggling to learn an art form that I love so much, and being able to communicate with them is just like, I'm sitting there like, okay, cool. And I think that's where I missed out so much at that event, was because of the language barrier. So it's just like, I think as a community out here, we have to kind of get over that hump of I don't know what it is. It's a bias about not, like, how often do you hear, oh, you still speak Spanish? You live in America, speak English.
Right.
It's, you're in America. Like, I think it's been ingrained into a lot of us, quite frankly. And so I think just that comparison, right there is an example where it's just like, make that effort to know what you're saying. 'Cause I mean, it'll have that much more meaning. It'll, have more weight if you're singing it in the hoda and you're knowing what you're saying. And people can feel that passion. Mm-hmm. I mean, a great example is in Professora Minha Velha. I love hearing her sing. And she knows what she's saying. So even in the simple songs, oh, CCC, oh, now, now, now. Was it today is here, tomorrow is not? I forget. Hoje tem, hoje manhã. I can't think right now. I'm like drawing a brain fart.
It's okay. It's morning. Taping in the morning.
Here I am preaching about knowing what you're saying, and I can't even remember the lyric.
That's why I refilled my coffee right now.
Whatever.
Okay, so from experience, and I ran a music class for a while. I do a certain thing where, I don't know if we call it methodical, but okay, so first, let's just say you want to learn a song. I don't know what song. I'm not even going to say a fucking title of a song because, like, I'm not going to... No. Like, let's just... You want to... It's morning. Let's just say you want to learn a song. Okay, so look at the lyrics. there, for me personally, when I hear something, I'm like, oh shit, I want to learn that song. That just sounds like the jam.
It's the new hotness.
It's the hotness.
It's the new jam.
It's the blurred lines of spring or something like that. So I'll whip out a song, okay, or I'll find it from YouTube, and then I'll try to pick out what they're saying in the coro. And then usually the coro is that title. So let's hypothetically say the song was from YouTube. I'm going to make it hard. I'm not going to be like, I have the lyrics. I'll search for those lyrics. If I don't have the lyrics, I will take the YouTube to my teacher and be like, what is this guy saying?
Oh, yeah.
Usually your teacher can pick it out, or even if, and there's at least one, there are at least one Brazilian in your class. There has to be. Unless you're like somewhere else in India or something. Unless you're listening to India. I don't know. Or you could be. Or that could be your teacher. I mean, who knows? But there should at least be a person in your school.
Right.
That knows, has a good grasp of the language. So maybe even take it to him if you can't find the lyrics anywhere. Okay. Okay, once you have the lyrics, I mean, and then, or say you have the lyrics, you can usually find a YouTube or some sort of an audio, or your teacher knows it. Like I said, I notice a lot of answers to our questions are, go to your fucking teacher.
Yeah.
So you can even go to your teacher and be like, how does this song go? Do you know how this song goes?
Mm-hmm.
If on it, and the funniest thing is, if he doesn't know it, he definitely knows someone.
Yeah.
Or she definitely knows someone that would know the song.
Yeah.
So somehow you will get it. Okay, now say you do have the song. You have everything you need. Okay, first, sing the song the way it was sung in the audio tape. I hate to say it like that.
Yeah.
You have to learn. It's, you know,
it's a personal problem I have, too.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes the lyrics don't match to what's being said.
It's the timing. No. Okay, that's another thing. The squish. I like to call it the squish.
The lyrics I know what you're talking about already.
What?
Go ahead. I know.
No, the lyrics may say all these words, but you have to fit the song. So sometimes you might have to loop two words together or even cut some of the words.
Yes.
So I know that's exactly another thing where I can understand about timing with new students, I notice.
It's that like random, like, eh or nah or G in the middle of two words.
Yeah.
It's like, how the heck am I supposed to say all those syllables?
Something becomes just something. You know, like, it goes together. I call it the squish. and I totally always say it like, oh, there's a squish. And when I mean the squish, like, you're putting shit, just everything is just becoming one big
expression. Just smashing that sentence into one syllable.
Yes.
Yeah.
So sing it just like the way the guy sings in the song. Usually what I'll do is, I won't even sing it with an instrument. I'll actually just sing it, while the music is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I introduce the berimbau or the drum. I'll introduce, me singing and playing. And again, guys, singing and playing comes with time. I remember when I'd be practicing music with my friend. Would actually go out to the park. I mean, yeah, we would go to the fountains and stuff and play at the Northridge Mall. And like, when it was time for us to start singing and playing, it was awful because it'd be like clomp, clomp, bang, bang.
No.
Bang. It would go off the rails. And you know what, guys? It is okay if it goes off the rails when you're practicing on your own. It might be another story at your school because maybe your teacher might get mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Or your teacher might be like, most likely your teacher would be like, that's okay. Like, at least you're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to fall in class. It's another thing to fall if you're at a bachizado. Like, don't do that.
That's the biggest thing. I think that's the most important point to drive home is the bachizado is not the time to experiment. It's not the time for you to see, okay, let's see if I can do this aus and mau. Like, let's see if I can play this, like, crazy drum rhythm.
I don't know. For the Alusamau, I'm going to have to debate you on that. Uh-oh. I think adrenaline plus fear equals greatness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
I mean,
I feel like
that's just sidebar on that. But anyways, for music, yes, guys. My teacher had a famous story of him playing as a boy at Mestre Acordeon's bachizado.
Oh, dear.
And Mestre Acordeon walking up to him and just swiping it.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Just swiped it out of his hands.
Yeah, not even a stink eye. Just straight up got up and just and just
what are you doing?
Just told him to play. Just told him to leave and play. So
just go clap.
Yeah, just go over there.
Well, I mean, it's the event. That's kind of like game day.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Okay, so So, and then, okay, so back to the singing part, or just tackling on this song. So, and then, so, like I said, there's going to be some expressions where it's really wordy. I call that the kill zone. Uh-huh. So there's always easy parts, and then there's always hard parts.
Yeah.
I tend to isolate the hardest part and master that first.
Before trying to...
Even do the song in its entirety. And then once you have that down, do the entirety. Keep doing it until it's, like, to the point where you're almost so tired of it to where you're,
it's
like...
repetition.
I need to play something to get this shit out of my head. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then after you have the instrument together with the song, keep singing it. And then when you know that you know it, like, the back of your hand, like, it's almost to the point... And I'm just saying this for personal experience, what I think. When I can visualize what the lyrics look like on the paper or on the napkin that I scrolled it on, I know I memorized it. Mm-hmm. I know that it's, I know it. I know that it's in me. From there, that's when you can start playing around going like...
Yeah, all those fancy...
Just put it in the little, like... Yeah, the little parsley on the plate and shit like that. Yeah, that's when you can start... spiraling or whatever, if you're good enough.
And just a small note on that one, try to keep it simple. It's not American Idol. It's not The Voice.
I like it like that.
Do you really?
I think I'm good.
See, that's confidence right there. Remember, a lot of years back, she's like, oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. Here I am, Miss American Idol, stepping up to the plate.
Hey, I practice, and a lot of people know that.
Yes, you do.
But I am still I'm practicing every day, and I may not be... Yeah, you know, I will never probably do a backflip, but I know that I can pick up at least one new song every so couple of months to keep it fresh.
Oh, hell yeah. That's cool.
So, guys, I think really another thing is to keep pushing yourself. Okay, so... depending on what the protocol of your school is, some of you may not do Angola. Some of you may not, you know, you'll never play Angola. Our school never really does Bangela. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, I'm not going to say I don't need to know that Toki. I know that Toki because I know I should have it in my back pocket if I ever go to other schools. I think it's good to learn different types of music just in case you do go to that one school when you're on vacation or... when you're visiting a school event, when you're traveling, to always know how the song goes. Because maybe someone, you might be playing the Binabao and they'd be like, hey, you know a Yuna? Can you do a Yuna right now?
Right.
You don't want to, I mean, maybe it's okay to be like, no, and then you just hand the Binabao off. But I think it's a great representation of yourself.
Absolutely.
If you say, yes, Mr., I know it, and you just bust it out.
Right.
Perfect tones with everything. And this is another, okay, so let's go to the intermediate student. Have your own instruments. You know a couple cojitos. You have some color on that belt.
Got my yellow, green. Got my yellow.
Or something.
Something, right.
Purple, fucking gold. I don't know what
orange,
the fuck you guys have.
Depends on your cordal system.
Yep. Whatever you have.
Or if you just have no belt.
Yeah, marauder.
Yeah.
So, I say start pushing yourself. Longer songs. Another thing is, by this point, you should have, like I said, depending on your school... you should honestly have a few ladainas or cuadras, I call it show ready.
Yeah.
Where you're not stumbling, where you're like, I think I know it. You don't need the lyrics in front of your fucking face. Mm-hmm. You should always have those,
It's like a...
You should always
be
ready.
It's like your song list.
Yeah, or, like my friends that are actors, they always have a classic monologue, a comedic monologue, and a dramatic always on hand. And then from there, it differs. Sometimes they'll have something for multi-camera or single camera. Like Capoeira, have a couple of really good cojitos, like maybe a couple Angola songs. And this is really good if the songs can go, can slide into one another. Like maybe have the same melody.
Uh-huh.
I tend to do that. I like to, I actually have a list of like clusters of three songs, and this is just personally for me, like I said, and the fact that I used to teach a music class, I used to love, and this was a suggestion from Shingu, to do songs that sound the same, so that way, like, the energy stays at a constant.
Yeah, I remember,
this might be actually
no,
more advanced concept.
It's right around that same area, I think, because it's just kind of knowing and recognizing what you're singing. Like, you're not gonna go to, like high energy Sem Dem De type song, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, oh, see, si, si, si. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
No, awful.
No, 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 no. So just it's a little bit of awareness. Yeah.
Exactly.
Awareness in the type of song you're singing and in the moment. And that's definitely a really conscious effort in learning and knowing what you're singing and recognizing the moment in the hoda.
Okay, so I think one thing to practice at home, you may want to get a group of friends together. Sometimes, like I said, me and my friend would go out, and then sometimes we even just talk to some other people, get people together and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I like to do just like small groups of four, you know, and at least have one person. What I would do is just be proficient enough to just play the constant beat. So that way, if people are off-key, they can just get right back
someone
on.
Someone that's there, kind of like your bass.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the, I forgot what that thing is called.
Metronome?
Yes. To almost be like the metronome. Or even talk to your teacher and be like, hey, what are you doing, like, on Saturday? Do you want to get together and do music?
Mm-hmm.
I think at my school, it's really accessible because our teacher's around the corner.
Yeah, that's really
He's always, if he's not doing anything else, he's always down to just chill and set up and stuff like that, and if we have any questions, he's happy to answer them. This is also a good opportunity to hang out and bond with your school over music. I know, like, we'll maybe do a cookout and just jam out and then even pick up new songs and introduce new songs into, like, our already, like, set music list of what we have.
Y'all finding the hotness.
So I think that, yeah, getting together and having people be accounted for you, and not only that, like I said, it really unifies your school.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, and I think this is another important thing that my old teacher Shingu taught me was, if once your music gets better, your game actually gets a lot better because you have more sense of rhythm. If you know the lyrics, you know what the fuck you have to do and what's going on.
Yeah.
And your confidence grows, and from your confidence, you can start to do new things and just play around physically as well as musically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just totally blanked out.
Okay, so it's so hard because there's so many facets and tips and just lessons from music that I've learned, and I almost wanted to, you know, I don't even... I kind of wanted to do a 101, but at the same time, it's like, I want to have enough stuff, like listening stuff for those advanced and intermediate people out there, like mm-hmm. food for thought.
Yeah.
I think for me, I think this podcast that I wanted to boil it down to is, are you aware of your music?
Yeah.
Are you guys practicing at home? Are you guys just practicing at... Are you even jamming out at the end of class? I think that also counts.
That's a small example. That's a good really little is. Moment right there.
But there's a lot of different things also you need to do. Like, I think another good tip is to just play sustained playing. You know, there were times where me would play for literally 4 straight hours.
Yeah.
Of just the constant ding dong dong ding dong, and then it got so monotonous. Honestly, that's when the singing and the playing started to work.
It's that monotonous
and it's
too.
It's practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it monotonous. Is monotonous. And it really it helps, guys. It's just like drilling kicks.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I wanted to kind of drive home with this episode, is that music is just important as your movement.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like learning a backflip. You want to do a backflip, you will do everything in your power to do a backflip. So why shouldn't you do that with music?
It's absolutely just... kind of beating nail on a dead horse, but I mean...
Thank you for fucking saying that, because I hate to be that person.
No, but you have to hear it. You have to do it. If you're sitting there, like, for me, I remember just playing my drum, playing my berimbau, and you get to a moment where you just kind of really get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
think
when you start feeling it.
That's when you start to feel
that
it.
That magical
if
swing.
You're sitting there, like, and you're just like, fuck, I can't get this, and then you start to get it, and then you start to kind of find yourself kind of like, dude, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden there it is, and you start to get lost in it. That is like for me, that's like an kind of my aha moment in the music. It was just like, I'm getting this. I'm finding things that work for me, and I'm finding things that I can bring to the table in class or at that event that you've been wanting to play at, where you see so many people playing. You're like, God, I want to do that. I want to like represent. Like, it's there. It's just that monotony of practicing, like with your pandero, with absolutely your drum, no, with your bimbao,
that's an with awesome your song. Point.
Like, it's just that monotony, and in finding and doing that work, and then all of a sudden you're starting to feel that confidence, and you feel like, there it is. Like, what?
Yeah, and
did I just do that?
To those that aren't acrobatic, I am not the most like acrobatic person. I think that's another thing that can set you apart, and that you can make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay if you can't backflip. I think it's almost better that you can do music, because really, I think acrobats really haven't been around in terms of capoeira. Like, I don't think that guys were... I don't think anyone was fucking backflipping at the plantations, like, to be all honest, when they were playing way back in the day. But I know that they were singing.
It was all about the kicks. It was all about the singing.
Yeah, there was all the singing about what was going on. It was about the struggles in the songs. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget about that, because capoeira is a physical thing, and people want to be fit, and people want to be strong, and they want to do cool shit.
That's another...
But music is a cool shit, too.
Yeah. It's another dynamic of the art form. I think just going back to that physical fitness aspect of it, we live in a physical fitness-driven society, so we forget those cultural aspects.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's within the art form of capoeira. That's why every time you tell someone, oh, you do capoeira, they're like, oh, is that death? Because there's that cultural aspect that's not understood, mm-hmm. that people have no idea about. So it's just kind of like, going back to that music, it's just a part of the art form. It's part of the culture. It's a part of where it comes from. So, yeah, just with music, again, nail.
Well, it is really weird motions that you made with your fist in your hand right now.
I'm just trying to make a point, but yeah.
Exactly. No, I totally agree what you're saying. I'm on the board because I practice our school. Our school definitely is very music conscious. Mm-hmm. I hate to bring up my school, but that's basically the only example that I can grasp at right now.
Right now. Absolutely.
It's about well-roundedness and being your own person.
Absolutely. Being your own person.
Music can set you apart. And not only that, you can put yourself into the song.
Mm-hmm. When you figure that out, that's when it starts to get real fun.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
All right, guys. So thank you for listening to this week's episode.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I know it might have been a lot to chew on. I know it definitely was.
There's a lot
there. One of those things I just can't end.
There's a lot there that just thinking about, there's just a lot that's been said, and a lot of directions you can go on.
Exactly. I mean, and I don't even want to close it. Like, that was the end all of be all of our music episode. I think that we're going to have to reopen this and explore other facets
of music. Something more specific, something more detailed. I don't know. Possibilities are endless.
But I think the message that we wanted to drive home is that as much as you practice your movements, you should at least try to practice your music.
Absolutely.
So keep practicing, keep training, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, guys.
Bye.